before Clark starts my time, I wanted to sort of run a few advertisements here. First of all, as I've already mentioned, I thank you so much for coming. Is there any way you can have a little stand for me?
I need two hands. I can't.
It's better. I wanted to thank you for coming to this Bible study. And some of you have driven a good piece, and we appreciate it. And this is exactly what this is. It's a Bible study. My brother in Christ, Lord Rose, he's not a personal enemy of mine at all. We're friends. We do disagree strongly on this topic. But it's a Bible study. And I usually use this analogy. If you were to go study with somebody, maybe a one-on-one study with somebody, and you come home, your wife doesn't ask you who won the Bible study. That doesn't make any sense. So we're not doing a debate where we have judges and somebody win. That's not what we're doing. It's just a Bible study where both sides are heard, are presented, and you can be the judge. Take the verses that are presented, go home, and make up your own mind. Now, Floyd and I will press our points at times because we both believe strongly about our position on this. But don't mistake that for any ill or animosity between us. We have none. We're friends. As a matter of fact, we're closer, much closer friends than we first became acquainted. All we've done is we had one debate on this subject and got off to Georgia before. We've just gotten to be stronger and stronger friends. Notice I have up on my chart here, for those of you who can see it, a website. If you want to write that down, www.BibleDebates.info. I've got a number of copies of debates I've had, over 35 of them. The audio there in MP3 format, you can download them and listen to any of these debates on a number of different topics, including the debate that I had with Floyd last year, I guess, on this subject. There are other things there that you can get. You can get the debate charts. The charts that I'm going to use tonight are already on the site, so you can download those. Even if you only have dial-up internet access, you could easily download those charts. The charts don't. The MP3 format would take you a while to download if you only had dial-up. You might want to do that while you're eating supper or while you're gone away from your desk for a while, but the charts would download quicker. They're just Microsoft Word, so anybody pretty much has that can open it. Don't start my time yet, Clark. I want to read a verse that kind of talks about the value of debate in a way. Sermons are good. We need to have sermons. But listen to this verse, Proverbs 18:17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. See, that's the benefit of having a debate. You don't just hear one side, you get to hear the other side. One other point, we do disagree here. So I'll be saying some things that some of you disagree with. That's what we're here for. And Florida will be saying some things that some others disagree with. But we do it out of love. I wouldn't be doing this unless I loved your soul, even though you disagree. And I know Floyd does it out of love. So, just because we say something you disagree with or say, this is not right, that doesn't mean we don't love you. You know, if you knew a person who was on drugs and ruining their life on drugs, and you try to correct them and get them away from drugs, you wouldn't be being mean to them, you would be doing it because you love them. You see what I'm saying? And it's the same thing spiritually. Okay, Clark, start my time. Now, what I'm putting up number two, Heaster. What I'm trying to show tonight is that it's a sin. I don't remember how the proposition was worded. I think it was on the flyer, but basically that it's a sin for a woman to preach in the church assembly. Okay? And here's one of the two primary passages I'm going to use tonight. I'll probably bring this passage up more than any other. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, I think if you read that verse, you can understand why I'm opposed to women preachers. It says, let your women keep silence in the church. It's not permitted unto them to speak. And then at the end of the verse, it says, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, I want you to notice what I mean by the phrase, in the church. Well, he said that would be your signal to go to chart number four. What do I mean by the phrase in the church? Well, I mean exactly what the phrase means in 1 Corinthians 14:35b, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, this is important because I'm definitely not opposed to women preaching, that is, teaching the gospel, outside of the church. And by that I mean, let's suppose that Mr. Rhodes' wife had a Bible study, a ladies' Bible class at her house, and she led that study. She would be teaching the gospel. And in that sense, she would be preaching, but she wouldn't be preaching in the church. You see what I'm saying? So it's a key phrase here when it says the woman should not speak or teach, preach in the church. I'm not opposed to her teaching outside the church assembly, as long as she does not teach or lead over the man, as we'll see from another passage in a moment. You follow what I'm saying? We see, I think it's in Titus 2, that the aged women are commanded to teach the younger women. Not opposed to that. We're for that. But we're opposed for women getting up in the pulpit when the church comes together and meets. Notice as I say, I specifically mean in the church assembly. This word, the Greek word, translated church in this verse, 1 Corinthians 14:35, is translated assembly in other congregations. Wigram Green defines the word as an assembled church. Verse 23 helps pinpoint what we're talking about. It says, if the whole church be come together into one place. Many churches start their Sunday school, maybe at 9:30 or 10. And then about 10:30 or 11, they all leave the Sunday school classes, the Bible classes, and all come together into one place. We might call that the preaching service or the communion service, whatever you want to call it, the worship service. All of the church is come together into one place. Now, when they were in the Bible classes, they were in different places. But when they came together in one place and had what we call the worship service, that's when I'm opposed to the woman preaching. I don't necessarily mean in the church building per se, because some churches don't even have a church building. But when they meet all together in one place as the church, the women are not supposed to teach. I've already been through this a little bit. What is the issue? May women preach, teach the gospel outside the assembly of the church? Certainly so. In Acts 8, 1 and 4, it explains to us that the whole church, including women, went everywhere preaching the word. This doesn't mean they preach publicly in the church pulpit. Preach just simply means taught the gospel. If you teach the gospel one-on-one, that's preaching. As long as you're teaching, when you're teaching mathematics, it's not preaching. But if you're teaching the gospel, it's preaching. In Acts 2:17, it says, your daughters shall prophesy. That is, preach through inspiration. In Acts 21, verses 8 and 9, Philip had four virgin daughters which did prophesy. So we have many examples of women teaching the gospel back then. But no example of them violating 1 Corinthians 14 by teaching in the church. And as I've already mentioned, the aged women are commanded to teach the younger women. So it is scriptural for women to teach the gospel as long as they don't do it in the assembly of the church, 1 Corinthians 14, and as long as they don't teach over the man, we'll get to that verse in a minute, 1 Timothy 2:12. A woman could teach a lady's Bible class at the church building or at her home, for example. The issue is, may women preach in the assembly of the church? That's what we're opposing tonight, and that's what Floyd is in favor of. Floyd will say that they may. The Bible says that they should not. Quickly, it's repetitive here, but for emphasis, let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 again. What is the command? Keep silence, verse 34. Not permitted to speak, verse 34. Shame to speak, verse 35. To whom does the command apply? Your women, verse 34. Women, verse 35. Doesn't apply to men. When does the command apply? Not everywhere. We just stopped by McDonald's and got some ice cream on the way over here. It doesn't apply at McDonald's. It only applies, as the text says in verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place. Verse 34, in the churches or in the assembly. Verse 35, in the church. Now, Floyd teaches that women may speak in the church. This verse says that women are not to speak in the church. Then, Heath, are we going to number 9 right now? All right. Let's look at that passage, 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. There the text says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not or allow not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Clark, how much time do I have left?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, that's good. What is the command here? The command is that the woman is not to teach over the man. To whom does it apply? The woman. When does the command apply? At all times, and this would certainly include the church assembly. So 1 Timothy 2, verse 12 condemns a woman teaching over a man. This would include leading a Bible class that has men in it. Even in the Sunday school classes, if you have a class of men, a woman should not lead that class because according to this passage, it's wrong for her to teach over the man. Also, it's wrong for her to usurp authority over the man. And then this passage would also include forbid the woman preaching to the church assembly, because in that case, there's men in the church assembly. She's not to teach nor usurp authority over them, so she shouldn't be preaching the sermon, because in doing so, not only does she violate 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35, she violates 1 Timothy 2:12. Floyd, my friend Floyd, teaches that women may preach to the church, which includes men. This verse forbids that. Now, I think you'll notice that it seems that I have the Bible verses on my side. Now, I think my friend Mr. Rose is going to have a difficult job to try to unravel what these passages say. We'll see what he does. But the passages seem pretty clear, don't they? That it says the woman's not to speak in the church, she's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. And this is exactly why I oppose it. Another thing that in the proposition, I guess I didn't quote it right a while ago. The way I quoted it, just talked about women preachers. But in the proposition, it talks about elders also. Because Floyd is also in favor of women being elders or bishops or overseers in the church. Pastors, as we might call it, the Bible uses that term. Pastors or elders are leaders or overseers over the congregation. Floyd will agree with that. Acts 20, 17, 28, 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. Now, the Bible precludes a woman from taking this leadership role. Floyd says it's okay for a woman to be an elder, a bishop, or a pastor of a church. But the Bible precludes that. Let's look at the passages that show that. First of all, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. The Bible says the head of the woman is the man. Head there would be like, it's an analogy between the head of a human body and the body. The head is what tells the body what to do. It's the boss. So when it says the head of the woman is the man, just like it said the head of man is Christ in the same verse, it means Christ is our boss. Christ is the boss of the church. So it says the head of the woman is the man, that means man is the head over woman, he's the boss over women. Now you look at 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3, I suppose it would have been better if I read the whole thing, so I'm going to turn there and read that. Because it has three of these headship things. It says, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. I mentioned that. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, Floyd will agree when it says the head of every man is Christ, that that means that Christ is the head over men. He's the boss. Therefore, they should not try to usurp authority over Christ. But when he comes and it says the head of the woman is the man, why can't he see the same thing? It should mean the same as the other phrase, that man is the head or boss over the woman, therefore the woman should not usurp authority over the man, just like we read in 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. It says that she's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. And she does that when she speaks in the church, according to 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35. And then Ephesians 5, 22-24 reads, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I'm pretty sure, unless he's changed since last year, that Floyd will agree that passages like this teach that the husband is the head over the wife. In the debate we had, Floyd said he was the head over his wife. I think he will agree this passage teaches that. He understands that the husband, because of passages like this, has authority over the wife. And, of course, he's supposed to work with the wife. But if they can't agree on a decision, the final decision will have to be made by the man because the woman, the wife, is supposed to be subject under the husband. Floyd agrees with that. Now, what I'd like to know is why when we see the same kind of terminology in referring to man being head over woman, not just husband over wife, but man over woman, why he can't see then that the wife, or the woman, excuse me, should not teach in the church, should not teach nor usurp authority over the man. And then we've already been over 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. This is not just talking about husband and wife here. It doesn't say that. It says, but I suffer not or allow not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And then 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, remember, we're talking about bishops, overseers, elders, pastors, whatever you want to call them. The Bible uses all four of those terms to refer to the same office. It says a bishop then must be the husband of one wife. Floyd says a woman can be a bishop. Now, I'd like to know how she can be a bishop if a bishop must be the husband of one wife. Now, why does the bishop have to be the husband of one wife? Why can't a woman be a bishop? It's because the bishop is in a role where he's taking leadership over the congregation. And we see from these other passages, 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, 1 Timothy 11, verse 3, Ephesians 5, so forth, that the woman cannot take this leadership role over the man. That's why the bishop would have to be the husband of one wife, not the wife of one husband. because the bishop takes a leadership role over the congregation, and as we've seen from other passages, that's not a role that the woman can take. Not without violating God's will, anyway. And then, Heath, are we going to number 8? Now, this chart is entitled, "It is not a shame for women to speak in the church." There's a question mark there. And to begin with, this is going to be a prediction about Floyd's argumentation, because we hadn't heard it yet. If he was going first, we would have already seen it, I believe. But all of Floyd's arguments will be made in an effort to prove that it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. That's what he's going to be trying to prove, that it's not a shame for women to speak in the church, even though 1 Corinthians 14:35 plainly says it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, let me say that again. The Bible says it's a shame for women to speak in the church, and that's what I've been arguing tonight. All of Floyd's argumentation will be set out to prove that it's not a shame for women to speak in the church, even though the Bible says that it is. So let's compare that. The Bible says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak." That's what God said. He wrote that verse, in effect, because He inspired Paul to write that, an inspired apostle. Floyd says, "Don't let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is permitted unto them to speak." Can't we see how that Floyd is saying the very opposite of what that text says, God's Word says? I believe Floyd will admit that his arguments are made to support this conclusion. That is, it's not a shame for him to speak in the church. But we'll let him tell us by checking the appropriate box. Floyd is trying to prove, but Floyd, you don't have to do this literally, but to get up, I want you to, in effect, tell us which box you would check. It is a shame for him to speak in the church, which is a quote of the Bible, or it is not a shame for him to speak in the church, which is exactly the opposite of the Bible. Remember when God said to Adam and Eve, "The day you eat, you shall surely die"? And what did Satan say to them? "No, when you eat, you shall not surely die." It was exactly the opposite of what God said, and it got them into trouble because they believed it. Floyd is saying exactly the opposite of what God said. God said it's a shame for women to speak in the church. He's saying it's not. Now, which of the above do you think my opponent will choose? Which do y'all think, based upon what we're debating tonight, which of the above do you think the Lord will choose? I think it's obvious He's going to choose the second one. Which of the above do you think I would choose? Is there any doubt which one I would choose? I think you all know I would choose the first one. It is a shame for him to speak in the church. Now, what's more important? What Floyd and I choose or what God chooses? So here's the most important question. After knowing, to put up number one, Number two. Let's go back to the text and read it. 1 Corinthians 14:34-35. "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Which one of these two do you think God would choose? He said, it's a shame for women to speak in the church. They're to be in silence. It's not permitted to them to speak. Which one do you think God would choose? Now you know why I choose the first one, and you're going to see in this Floyd's speech, which we're going to pay attention to very carefully, with respect, he's going to choose this one. It is not a shame for him to speak in the church. Why can't we just read 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, 1 Timothy 2, and just believe exactly what it says? Thank you very much.